This is A Coastal Story, written and presented by Charlie Connolly. On the afternoon of the 23rd of October 1747, a rowing boat heaved its way across Portsmouth Harbour towards a sloop called the Swallow, which lay at anchor along with a number of other naval vessels preparing to sail for India. The water under the oars was as grey as the sky, and the boat's occupants, a clutch of new recruits into the Navy, were quiet as the enormity of what lay ahead really hit them. The only sound was the gentle splashing of the oars, and as they drew nearer the ship, one of the new recruits, James Gray, twisted in his seat to look at the vessel looming towards them, the ship that would effectively be his home for the next few months. Britain was, just for a change, at war with France in 1747, a conflict that this time had spread as far as India. James Gray was one of about 800 marines, making up a force of some 2,000 men, sailing east with orders to recapture Pondicherry on the east coast of India. He'd been assigned to the Swallow with 100 other men as part of one of the largest fleets ever to set sail for the Indian subcontinent. James would spend the next few months jammed onto the ship with 100 others, living, working, eating, sleeping and washing, well, sometimes washing, in cramped conditions below deck on a voyage to the far side of the world where battle awaited. It was a tall order for any new recruit, but particularly daunting for James Gray. Because James Gray was not who he said he was. James Gray was not a former carpenter from Wapping. That James Gray was in Wapping and was still a carpenter. This James Gray was Hannah Snell, a 25-year-old bereaved mother and abandoned wife from Worcester and sister-in-law of the real James Gray, who had adopted his identity to enlist in the British Navy. And it worked. Hannah Snell managed to sail halfway around the world, be wounded in battle, and return to England without her true identity being discovered in the entire 2.5 years of her service. When the Swallow left Portsmouth, Hannah's experience in cooking, laundering and darning made her a useful man to have around the ship. Once they'd arrived in India, she even distinguished herself in battle. A 1750 biography detailing how she took part in the unsuccessful siege of Pondicherry, which was abandoned when the monsoon rains arrived, and in a successful sortie to capture a French-held fort at Davia Coty. According to her biographer, Richard Walker, her fighting career ended when she received 6 shot in her right leg and 5 in the left, and what affected her more than all the rest, 1 so dangerous, in her groin. There are records that show a James Gray was admitted to the military hospital at Cuddalore and remained there for more than 2 months. But some historians speculate that while Hannah may well have been wounded in the legs, such a lengthy stay without her identity being discovered was unlikely. It's possible she was suffering from something else, an illness maybe. Scurvy and malaria were rife during that campaign, and many of Hannah's fellow patients never made it out of the hospital. She left India on the Eltham on the 17th of October 1749, 2 years almost to the day after joining the Swallow at Portsmouth, and went into the service of a couple of officers on board. On the voyage, some of her shipmates began to tease her about her lack of facial hair and started calling her Miss Molly, to which she would respond by challenging them on who was the best sailor. She would also join riotous shore parties in Lisbon, where, according to Walker, she played the part of a boon companion so naturally and so far distant from what bore the least appearance of effeminacy that she answered the end proposed. The name of Miss Molly was here perfectly buried in oblivion. There was one awkward moment when a bout of macho banter saw a comrade demand they flip a coin to see who would go home with a Portuguese woman. Fortunately for Hannah, if not the Portuguese woman, she called wrong. The Eltham sailed back into Portsmouth Harbour at the end of May 1750, and Hannah headed north to her sister's house in Wapping, where her adventure had first been conceived, and where she now revealed the whole caper to her sister Susanna and her husband, the Wapping carpenter James Gray. Nobody is entirely certain why Hannah Snell went to sea as a man. The eighth of nine children born to a textile dyer in Worcester, she went to London at 17 to live with her sister and her brother-in-law, presumably as there was little work available at home. 4 years after arriving in London, in 1744 she married a Dutch sailor named John Sums, and it didn't take long before she realised she'd made a terrible mistake. As Walker put it, all his promises of friendship proved instances of the highest perfidy, and he turned out the worst and most unnatural of husbands. Since, though she had charms enough to captivate the heart and secure the affection of any reasonable man, yet she was despised and condemned by her husband, who not only kept criminal company with other women of the basest characters, but also made away with her things in order to support his luxury and the daily expenses of his whores. When Hannah was 7 months pregnant, Sums finally did a bunk, emptying their home of anything remotely of value and disappearing. Hannah moved back in with her sister and gave birth to a daughter, who died at the age of 7 months. The Walker biography claims Hannah first joined the army as James Gray in 1745, having travelled up to Coventry to enlist as Bonnie Prince Charlie led his Jacobite forces south from Scotland. But the few pieces of documentary evidence we have don't seem to back that up. We know for sure that she did sign up to the Navy in 1747 though, but what we don't know is why. Walker suggests she was searching for her absconded husband, although why she'd do that in the first place, let alone disguise herself as a man and sail off to war to achieve it, is a bit of a mystery. It's not like he was a catch. The guy was a colossal dick. John Sums did apparently go to sea, but so did a lot of people in the 18th century, so the chances of finding him anywhere in the world were pretty slim. As it turned out, it wasn't long before he murdered a man in Italy and was executed, sewn into a sack, weighed down with stones, and dropped into a harbour. Maybe she just saw little in the way of opportunity as an abandoned wife in Wapping. Maybe the grief at losing her baby daughter impelled her to get away, start afresh, a new life, a new identity. But then, disguising yourself as a man is one thing. Doing it in a profession spent largely in cramped conditions among men for months at a time seemed a strange way to make a fresh start. Somehow she wasn't discovered, and indeed was eventually able to reveal her true identity on her own terms. From Portsmouth she travelled up to London with some of her comrades to receive the pay owed for the entire duration of their service. Hannah received her 2.5 years of wages, along with 2 new suits, which she immediately sold. Then, when the group adjourned to a nearby pub, and with a princely £15 burning a hole in the pocket of her breeches, She told the friends and colleagues with whom she'd spent the last 2.5 years battling fearsome storms at sea and French soldiers on land that she was not James Gray. She was Hannah Snell. At first, the lads thought it was a terrific joke, a play on the whole Miss Molly thing. But Hannah had brought along Susanna and the real James Gray to back up her story. And the cat was out of the bag. Within a month, she was all over the newspapers, had engaged Robert Walker to write and publish her biography, and begun appearing on the London stage, singing songs, performing military drills, and telling stories of her adventures. She also secured a pension of 5 pence per day in recompense for the injuries suffered in the service of the king. Public interest soon waned, though, and Hannah, still only 27, faced an uncertain future. Walker's biography ends with her plans to open a pub in Wapping called The Widow in Masquerade, but there's no record of her ever doing so. In fact, a couple of appearances on the stages of Bath and Bristol aside, she disappears almost completely for a decade, before there's news of a marriage to a carpenter in Newbury in 1759, with whom she would have 2 sons. She married again in 1772, but nearly 20 years later, in August 1791, Hannah Snell was admitted to the Bethlehem Hospital for the Insane, where she died on the 6th of February 1792. Hannah's is quite a story, quite an adventure. We'll never know exactly why she did what she did. When she stepped into that rowing boat at Portsmouth Harbour on a chilly autumn day in 1747, it was just 9 months after the death of her baby daughter, which came after what sounds like a horrifically abusive marriage to a man who went on to kill. Maybe she needed to step outside herself, to step outside the trauma. Reviews of her stage appearances marvelled at her story, but were circumspect about the quality of her performance. But no one could take away the 2.5 years during which Hannah Snell processed unimaginable trauma while playing the most convincing role of her life. That was A Coastal Story. I'm Charlie Conway. I'll post some pictures and extra stuff about Hannah on Twitter, which you'll find by following me there at Podcast Coastal, at Podcast Coastal, and on Facebook, where you can find us by searching for Coastal Stories Podcast. The paperback edition of my book, The Channel, is out on the 23rd of June. Basically, it's a much longer version of Coastal Stories, also much quieter, being a book. If you did fancy pre-ordering it, that would be a big help, making the bookshops think there's a groundswell of interest ahead of publication. Which there is, of course. Everyone loves a coastal story, after all. If you could leave us a review and a rating, if your podcast platform of choice permits that kind of thing, then that would be a ding-dong doozy too. I know. All take, no give. That's me to a T.